A, 4 and 8, where it says there, and the four beasts of them each had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within and without, or within, and they rest not night and day, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. I want to talk about the holiness of God tonight. One of His attributes, dealing with one of His, another one of His glorious attributes. But you know, it says the same thing over in Isaiah 6. The seraphims there, there was three of them. One covered His feet with His wings, one covered His breast with His wings, one covered His eyes. And they cried, Holy, 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 when they saw the Lord high and lifted up on His throne. And I want you to see this. Look in Isaiah 57 with me just a minute. That God is holy. That God is holy is a truth that most would acknowledge. In fact, there's a lot they know. There's the Wesleyan holiness, and then there's people who call themselves holiness people. And most would admit and acknowledge that God is holy. But here in Isaiah 57:15, look what it says. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, now watch it, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, but this is who I dwell with there. Him also is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. But most people, when they acknowledge that God is holy, but what they say is they regard it as a standard that God set for Himself. And if we want to be saved, we must meet that standard by the way we live. We have to live holy lives. We have to live a certain way. And that's why so many holiness people, Wesleyan holiness and people who are Pentecostals and people like that, they say, you know, you can't have any sin. If the Lord comes back and catch you with any sin in your life, you can't go to be with Christ. You know, so they're the one that decides what sin is. They're the one that decides it. And they'll say, boy, I'm telling you, you'd better live right if you're going to get to go to heaven. And holiness, I remember I was preaching one of Floyd's brothers, I guess it was Lloyd's funeral. And there was some of your people on the front pew, you know, and they really holy people, you know. They got religion, you know. And I got talking about the holiness of God. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Then I got talking about the justice of God. That He's so holy that He can't overlook sin. That He's so holy that He must punish sin. That He's so holy that And man, I tell you, they just shut up like that. Holiness, as long as the holiness meets their standard, and as your view of holiness meets what they view holiness to be, and they view God to be, they're all right with that. But when you deal with God of the Bible, and what He says, He is holy. And when the angels and the seraphims and the beast cover their eyes in His presence because He's of a, you know, He's so holy that they even cover their eyes and just cry day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Now God is holy, independently, infinitely, immutably holy. He is called the Holy One, all moral excellency. We, some people are moral, more moral than others. But none of us, all of us, have some immorality about us. Whether we manifest it or not, it's in our minds, it's in our lips, it's in our thoughts, it's in our intents. But God's the only one, only being in the universe, that all moral excellency is found in Him. When our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, you know what He called Him? Holy Father. Holy Father. He is absolute purity. Look with me over in 1 John chapter 1. Absolute purity. John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John. Excuse me. You know, he is, and this is the way we want him to be. He says here in 1 John 5, chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. This is what God taught us. This is the message that God sent to us. This is the message we've heard. And this is the message we declare unto you. Now watch it. God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. None whatsoever. So you see, he's absolute purity. His throne is called the throne of holiness. Isaiah and Psalm 47. He's clothed with the beauty of holiness. His clothes that he wears is the very beauty of holiness. People wear clothes and say, boy, those are beautiful clothes. God's clothes are beauties of holiness. We worship him, the scriptures tells us, in the beauties of holiness. And so you see, beloved, God's power. Oh, we delight in his power. It's glorious. Oh, how glorious it is that it can take dead sinners and give them life. Hard-hearted sinners and give them a new heart. Take rebellious sinners and change their wills. And his omniscience sees and knows all. And he's rich, so rich in mercy. He is as rich today in mercy as he was the first time he extended mercy to Adam and Eve when he brought them out of the Garden of Eden. And oh, beloved, he is eternal in his duration. God is eternal from and he's just eternal, the only eternal being. And beloved, but holiness is his beauty. Holiness is his beauty. That's what makes him beautiful. That's what sets him above everything else in this universe. His name is called holy. This is what the seraphims and the spirits of just men made perfect cry continually. Thrice, that's what they mean that he's thrice holy. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. God himself says about in Psalm 89:35, once have I sworn by my holiness. And we give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And beloved, let me tell you something. Holy can be put before every attribute of God. Holy can be put before every one of his attributes. His holiness is the beauty of his person. You know, we see people and we meet people and we know people that as far as physical beauty and that, they may not have. They may be very nice looking at, but there's something about their personality, their character, their nature, the way they conduct themselves, their spirit, that just makes them shine. And they're beautiful by their very nature and their character and the way they carry themselves. And that's what makes God beautiful, is his holiness. That's his nature. And so this is, you know, this is his beauty. And I tell you, put holiness before him, and that you call his holy power. His holy arm got him the victory. His holy justice. We can say that his wrath is holy, because there's no vindictiveness in his wrath. There's no imperfection in his wrath. There's imperfection in my wrath. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. If I've ever done it, I don't remember it. And oh, beloved, you call his holy love. Oh, his love is holy. He loves us with a holy love. That's why this love that makes God love everything and everybody, that makes no difference than a man saying, I love every woman exactly the way I love my wife. Well, what kind of man would love every woman exactly the same way he loves his wife? You say, that fella's sick. And that's why you say, he don't even know what love is. That's why love is called God's holy love. And his grace and his mercy are holy. He never expressed them at the expense of his holiness. He gave us his grace because he's holy. He gave us his mercy on the basis of his holiness. When he told Moses to build the tabernacle, he says, this will be my holy place. And when you first walked in, it was the holy place. Then you know where you went after that? Behind the veil? The holiest of holies. You know what it says over in Hebrews 9, that we come boldly and freely and confidently, where at? Into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Huh? Oh my. You know where he meets me, and he told Moses when he first met Moses, and Moses saw him on the mountain. Moses drew near. He says, Moses, don't draw near here. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Wherever I'm at, that's where holiness is. His angels are called holy angels. What does that say right there? Huh? His word, we call it his holy word. We call his will his holy will. Huh? And I tell you, beloved, all of God's works are holy. All of God's works are holy. Look with me in Psalm 145, just a minute. All of God's works are holy. Psalm 145 and verse 17. You know, if he is holy, if God is holy, and his name is holy, his throne is a throne of holiness, then holiness must be upon all that he does. Anything he does must be a holy act. When he created it, he created this world and said it's good, very good. And when he made man, the scripture says that he made man upright. But you know what else it says? That man's the one that sought out many inventions. But Psalm 145 and 17 says this: the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Everything he does, every work he does, he says it's a holy work. And you know, holiness is the rule of everything he does. There's no impure motive in his works, no impure desire. Everything he does because it's a holy act. And let me tell you, let me show you where he manifests his law. He manifests his holiness in his law. I don't know if any of y'all seen these people from this Westboro Baptist Church that go protest at all these funerals and everything like that. Have you ever seen any of them interviewed? Man, they're mean. Ooh, they're mean people. And they keep running to the law. Keep running to the law. Somebody asked him the other day, how much of the law have you broken? She wouldn't admit to that. Well, I ain't broken. But God manifests his holiness in his law. The law, absolutely, the law of God, absolutely forbids sin in any way whatsoever. You go through the Ten Commandments and men won't run to them, but it forbids sin in any way. Not just in the outward grossest sins, but in the intent of the heart and the mind. When you talk about love, God said, love me. That deals with heart. That deals with motive. That deals with your mind. That deals with your affections. And those are things you can't see. And beloved, when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, when he said, have no gods before me, the very minute that we start coveting something, we got an idol in the place of God himself. And so, guess what? The law absolutely forbids sin in any way. Not only don't do the wicked with your body, but don't even think wicked with your mind. Huh? Paul says the law is holy, it's just, and it's good. We know whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that they're under the law, and by the law no man is justified. By the law is what? The knowledge of sin. Look with me over here in Psalm 19. And oh, God manifests his holiness in his law. And everybody wants to run to those Ten Commandments. Oh, my soul. I want to run to where they fulfill that. You know, I heard a preacher preaching yesterday, Psalm 19. And he went over to Romans 3 and Romans 8. And he says, you know, the righteousness of the law. He didn't say, well, it's fulfilled by us. He says the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Who fulfilled it in us?
Yeah.
Christ fulfilled it in us.
Amen.
And I tell you, when I look at the law, all I see is no, 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 guilty, 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 condemned. And everybody wants to run to that and say, you know, God said, and they want to keep the Ten Commandments, and that's wonderful. Go ahead and do it. But ah, my soul, if you don't see in them, in the law, the holiness of God, and no hope for you by that law, except you find it in Christ, you're blind as a bat. And there's multitudes of people blind as a bat. Look what he said here in Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's what God said about His Word. And that's why we delight in it. Not only is God's holiness manifest in His law, but His holiness is glorified and manifested at the cross like it is no place else. You won't find out how holy God is. You won't find out, and all you've got to do is look at His Son. Look at His Son. Look at His Son from the first time He says, my hour has not yet come. Look at His Son when He started out and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and His soul was in such anguish. Look at Him. Look at the Son of God when He understands that His Father is fixing to turn His back on Him and will not have anything to do with Him. Won't even let the sun shine on such an awful deed. That God Almighty is of pure eyes to behold iniquity and is pure eyes to behold sin. And that, beloved, He would not even look at His own darling Son because He is so holy that wherever He finds sin, His holiness demands that He punish that sin. Huh? And nothing shows the holiness of God. There we see the beauty of holiness. God's beauty of holiness is manifested there. He would rather punish His own Son. He would rather pour His wrath out on His Son. He would rather punish His Son and let His Son bear our sin. Let His Son bear the burden of us, of a soul separated from God, as to let His holiness down one iota. Huh? Oh, here God upheld that holy law. He said, I told you I forbid sinning. And this is what happened to men who sin. I told you I wouldn't do it. I told you that I was holy and you wouldn't believe me. Now do you believe me? My God, he said, oh, look in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Oh, God will not. And these folks talk about holiness as something you can do with your own flesh, by the way you dress, by habits you take up and quit. Oh, my, I'd love to get one of them holiness churches and preach now. They honestly think that holiness is by the length of your skirt, the way you wear your hair, whether you wear makeup, or whether you don't, places you go, places you don't go, things you do, things you don't do, kind of cars you drive, kind of cars you don't drive. They think it makes them holy because they drive a buggy. You imagine that fella driving that buggy, driving down the road in his buggy with his black hat on and his white shirt and his black pants, and he's thinking, I'm so far above the rest of these heathen around here. And God looks on him and says, I see your heart. I see that pride. I see that self-righteousness. You just as well be driving a Cadillac as riding in that buggy for all I see about you. That's the way God looks at this outfit. Everybody wants to think their holiness can be performed outwardly. God looks, I don't want nothing to do with a holy God outside of Christ. Psalm 22, look what he says. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Why are you from the words of my roaring? Remember when he roared? He roared and wailed when he cried there. With strong crying and tears. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear me. And I was out there in the night when they come and got me. And I wasn't silent. But here's why you didn't. You're holy. Oh, thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee, were not confounded. Listen. But I'm a worm. I'm a worm. And no man. A reproach of men. And despised of the people. Huh? God treated him the way we would be treated had not God treated him that way. But why? Why? Because God is holy. He loves holiness. He hates iniquity. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to God. He must punish sin. And oh, and bless His holy name. Since He punished sin. And since sin can't be at two places at the same time. And He cannot punish for the same sin twice. That if God punished Christ in your stead and my stead. Then He'll never come punish us. He cannot be in two places. And all but because God punished sin. God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Of our sin. Christ made an end of sin. Christ came and put sin away by the sacrifice of Himself. And look in Ephesians 4:32. Oh my, ain't you glad these things are in the Scripture. Oh my. I'm glad God punishes sin. Oh my, if He didn't punish sin, there would be no hope for me or you. If it hadn't already been punished. If He hadn't been holy. If He hadn't been holy, how could you trust Him? How could, what would be the standard of holiness if God was? What would be the measure of it? And look what He says here in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Watch this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How can He forgive us? Because sin has been paid for. And look what it goes on to say. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Now listen. And hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Even though the agony of souls, and he cried, my God, thou hast forsaken me. He gave himself as a sweet smelling savor. Oh my. And I say this, beloved. I say believers delight and rejoice in and worship God in the beauty of His holiness. Let me ask you some questions. Would you change God? Would you change His attitude towards sin? Would you change His attitude towards sin? Would you change His attitude towards sin to save somebody you love? Would you change His way of dealing with sin and the sinner? And oh, and I tell you something, another thing about God's holiness. His proof of his holiness is proof of the inspiration of Scriptures. You know, the natural man would not and could not conceive of the God of the Bible as He is. He couldn't do it. He could not, would not conceive of the God of the Bible just as He is. All you've got to do is look how He's talked about. I seen this thing the other day. Mary brought me in there and showed it to me. There's this big church. And I mean, boy, they have went from just a half a dozen to now thousands. And it's a woman started it. And she says this, they're talking about their Easter services. She said, I will even use a false god to get them in so I can get them to the real God. She made that statement, and it was on the news, of the sound was as in the newsman read it. And rattling off cars. You got in there, you might win you a new car. And that's what she's talking about. I'll use a false god if I have to. That's what she's saying. I don't mind doing it at all. That's why, you know, people cannot conceive of the God of the Bible. The only way you'll ever acknowledge Him and know Him to be as He is for Him to make Himself known to you. Just look the way He's talked about. He's the old man upstairs. Just a little, let's just have a little talk with Jesus. Ah, boy. How He's presented to men. Oh my, He's so weak and impotent and powerless. He's not holy at all. And look at His intentions. He intends. He does, you know, something will happen. Say, God couldn't have possibly been in this. God couldn't. And you know, of His intentions. What's God's intentions? God's intentions towards you. If He's just got an intention, that's it. Oh my. But how would anybody conceive the God of the Bible as He is? Holy, righteous, just, must punish sin, cannot clear the guilty, will not acquit the wicked? The wicked get acquitted in this country all the time. And the guilty get to go free. Lots of judges and lawyers are in jail for taking bribes. And I hope they get a bunch more of them. But I tell you something you can't do. You can't bribe God. He can't be bribed with anything you've got, any thoughts you'll think, any act you'll do or don't do. He's holy. Huh? And oh, God is holy. Let's bow down before Him and reverence Him. Look at Psalm 95 for a minute. Oh, let's bow down before Him and worship Him. Stand in awe of Him. Reverence Him. Adore Him. Psalm 99. What did I say in Psalm 95? 99. 99 verse 5. Look at what it says. Talking about bowing down before Him. So, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Just come get at His footstool. Oh, because He's holy. Exalt Him, bow down before Him. And all, beloved, let me tell you something. He makes His people holy. This is why men can't conceive of the Bible, God of the Bible. He's holiness, and what He is and what He demands for us to be, He demands for us to be holy. And what He demands for us to be, He provides for us. He demands us to be perfect, He makes us perfect. He demands us to be holy, and He makes us holy. You know, 1 Peter 1:15 says, be ye holy, as God is holy. Therefore, be ye holy as God is holy. Now, how you mean to tell me that we, by our actions or anything we do, and that's what people interpret that to be, I've got to be as holy as God is. So whatever God, however God holy is, that's what I got to be. Now, when I read that, be ye therefore as holy as God, for God is holy. The next line says, so therefore pass your time of soldiering in fear if you call upon the Father, God and Father, who without respect of persons judgeth every man according to his works. I see that automatically, buddy. That if holiness has got to be done by me, I'm a gone guessing. Huh? But oh, but listen, let me tell you something. Without holiness, the scripture says, no man shall see the Lord. Well, where are we going to get holiness at? I'm going to show you. Ephesians 1. I'm going to give you a couple things and then I'll be done. Ephesians 1. We're positionally holy in Christ. You know, if Christ is holy, then we're holy because we're in Christ.
Amen.
Is that not right? Ephesians 1:4, look what it says. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy. And without blame before Him in love. Oh, look at Ephesians 5:27. Talking about Christ and His church. He says in verse 26, Ephesians 5, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What? We'll show you one more in Colossians. One book over. You got Philippians in Colossians 1:22. Oh my. That's why we wouldn't change God at all. He's holy. He demands that we be holy. He demands sinless perfection. He gives us sinless perfection. In Christ. In Christ. Colossians 1:22. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, bless His name. Ain't you glad He's holy? And He makes us holy. Oh, what a Savior. What a God. What a blessed salvation.